Blog Talk Radio.
Garage Talk Live starts now. And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is April the 9th, Tuesday. The weather's getting warmer. Rain coming in and out. We got a jam-packed show today. IndyCar in action. NHRA in action this past weekend. NASCAR in action down at the world's fastest half mile. We're awaiting our guest, Ms. District of Columbia, the one and only Jessica Winfield. We'll get to her as soon as she calls in. I'm expecting her shortly. So until then, let's touch on our IndyCar wrap-up. The Indy Series was the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama at the Barber Motorsports Park in Birmingham. Kuma Sato took the checkered flag. It's Scotty Dixon came in second. Sebastian Bourdais was third. Joseph Newgarden was fourth. Alexander Rossi was fifth. James Hinchcliffe was sixth. Seventh, Marcus Ericsson. There's a name I haven't heard of yet. Ryan Hunter-Reay was eighth. Simone Pagenaud was ninth. And Felix Rosenquist rounds out the top 10. Winner's average speed was 107.27 miles an hour. Race only lasted an hour and 55 minutes. Margin of victory, pretty spread out, 2.38 seconds. One caution for seven laps. 11 lead changes amongst six drivers. As the standings are now, Newgarden leads the points. Dixon in the second spot. Sato up to third. Alexander Rossi fourth. Herta was fifth. I keep wanting to say Brian Herta, but it's not. It's a younger Herta. Colton Herta. Seventh, Sebastian Bourdais. Eighth, James Hinchcliffe. Ryan Hunter-Reay is ninth. Eighth, I'm back. One, two, bunny. Eighth, Will Power is ninth. And Marco Andretti rounds out the top 10. The next race up for the IndyCar Series will bring that schedule up. Will be the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach, and that'll be this weekend and a couple in a row for them out in Long Beach, California. So you could check them out. It'll be on NBC and NBC Sportsnet at 4 p.m. on Sunday if you wanted to catch it out. And then they're off again until May 11th for the IndyCar Grand Prix. So I'll have a month off, and then they'll gear up for the Indy 500. So we've got two races at Indy in May, and that'll take up the whole month, a road course and running of the Brickyard. I mean, the track at Long Beach is kind of a weird-shaped thing. Not your symmetrical road course. It is kind of wonky-looking. So, anyway, we'll get to that and have those results for you next week. NHRA in action. The four wides in Las Vegas. Mike Salinas, Clay Milliken, Brittany Force, and Doug Coletta were your final four. Speaking of final four, University of Virginia did win the NCAA championship last night. Being I'm in the area, so I figured I'd give a mention to them. And it came down to Mike Salinas taking the Wally home, his first ever. He hasn't run too many races. I think he said 34. He was the number one qualifier. Ran only three in the first round. So they had an empty spot there. And ran against Billy Torrance and Antron Brown. And he went to the second round, or the semis, actually, and faced off against Billy Torrance. And then the other lane was Terry Totten, Leah Pritchett, Clay Milliken, and Austin Prock. So Milliken and Pritchett and Totten advanced, facing off Salinas and Torrance. And then the other half, Steve Torrance, Steve Chrisman, Doug Coletta, and Terry McMillan. And then the bottom half of the ladder was Brittany Force, Cameron Ferry, Richie Crampton, and Scott Palmer. Steve Torrence and Doug Coletta advanced. Brittany Force and Richie Crampton advanced. So there was your semis in the four. Then it was Doug Coletta, Brittany Force, Salinas, and Milliken. Salinas taking the win. Brittany Force was second. Low ET was Steve Torrence, 372. Best reaction time, Austin Proc, 025. And top speed, Mike Salinas. Well, let's ditch on the drag racing for a while. I'd like to welcome to the show for her very debut appearance on Garage Talk Live, Ms. District of Columbia, the one and only Jessica Winfield. Jessica, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure having someone of your stature on my little internet show, so thank you for coming on.
Of course. Just finished up a photo shoot in the Versace Mansion here in South Beach, so that was exciting. So sorry for being a little bit late.
Oh, that's okay. You got to do what you got to do. I'll just make sure you had all the stuff. You figure we can get you in there. Hey, photo shoot's a photo shoot. I can't wait to see the pics on your page.
Oh yeah, they're going to be fabulous.
Now you also have the distinction of not only having one title, you have two, which I kind of look so on your personal page. I haven't sent you a friend request yet. I have to ask if I may, so I don't just send you one out of the blue, and that's why you don't think it. It's some strange, goofy scammer troll, so especially these days and all, you got to watch. So I always ask a guest if I can do that.
Of course, so. Yes. I have also Miss Mermaid District of Columbia as well. I do work as a professional mermaid.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was going to ask you about that. I was pretty intrigued by that one. What made you enter a mermaid pageant? I like that purple mermaid outfit, though. Purple is one of my favorite colors. So.
Thank you so much. So I actually have been working as a professional mermaid for a little over a year now. And there is a Miss Mermaid pageant, and so I entered because I have a really decent breath hold, and I'm really good with underwater modeling, and, you know, I believe in ocean conservation, which are some of the key things for a Miss Mermaid contestant to have. And so, you know, I tried out and got Miss Mermaid District of Columbia. Sadly, I did not make Miss Mermaid USA, but my wonderful pageant sisters, Miss Mermaid Hawaii and Miss Mermaid Texas, are actually competing for Miss Mermaid International in Egypt as we speak.
I see. Well, that's a pretty good area, like Hawaii, you know, it's around the ocean. District of Columbia,
exactly.
I guess, unless you're talking about the Chesapeake Bay, is about the,
exactly.
You're like an inland mermaid.
The Chesapeake Bay. Yeah, the Chesapeake Bay, totally grew up with. And then also Virginia Beach, one of my causes is humpback whales. And so I would go on whaling trips when I was younger, and Virginia Beach is still, you know, about 3 hours away from D.C. So I was able to get to the water for there as well.
And Virginia Beach is pretty nice. I actually live on the western side of the state of Virginia, so in the mountains.
Awesome.
I went from a Yankee to a hillbilly.
A Yankee to a hillbilly. That's hilarious. How long have you been in Virginia?
Well, I ditched New Jersey in 2012. So it's 7 years now. Boy, it went by quick.
Awesome.
So now I'm in the mountains. I live on a hill. Excuse me?
No, keep talking.
I live on a hill. I have mountains surrounding me. I got scenic views. When I send you my friend request, and if you do accept it, you could, all the photos usually of scenery my wife took from our yard. So.
Oh, I cannot wait to see. That's going to be lovely.
But now, what prompted you to enter a the pageant world of become a Miss District of Columbia. Did you start out as a young child entering the pageants like some of the kids do these days?
No, not at all. Actually, this will be my second pageant. Miss Mermaid District of Columbia was my first. So I actually was doing this for publicity. I started a clothing line. It's called Sexy Last. It's an aerial fitness clothing line because I'm also an aerialist. I do lyra, silks, and pole dancing. And so this fitness line was made for people built more like me because I have a bigger competitor's body, broad shoulders, small waist. And most of the fitness clothing that, you know, like Lululemon and stuff, just didn't quite fit my body quite well. So I wanted to go out on my own and make something, and I did. And so that was one of the reasons to enter the pageant, to get more publicity for my clothing line. Another reason for entering the pageant is just to try something new. I am always a believer of living life to the fullest and have fun while you're doing it. And, you know, I want to have some fun. So why not, you know? And, hey, I'm just ready for the journey and see where this takes me.
Well, that's pretty awesome because I know that I was just reading up on the Ms. America, as opposed to Miss America.
Yes.
And then there's the whole Miss United States, which is also Ms., Little Miss, Mrs., and all that, which I actually...
Exactly. So I chose the MS pageant because... You know, I am older than 26, and I'm also married.
I couldn't tell by looking at you. You married?
Yeah, I am. So the MS, you can be older than 26 and married, where the Mrs., you have to be like 21 and older, and I don't feel as if I could compete with a 21-year-old. And obviously the Miss is for 17 to 24 who aren't married. So, yep.
Well, I think the Mrs., could be the next Mrs. United States you could run for because so you have to be 21. I don't think anybody could tell you're over
21 and older, I'm a lot older than 21. I thank you so humbly for your compliments. But if I told you my age, I think that you'd actually be shocked.
Tell you what, message me that and I could fall off my chair that way. How's that sound?
No problem.
I'm older than I look too, and I am not ashamed to admit it. If you saw my profile picture, if you had to take a guess, what would you say?
Well, I'm going to your profile picture right now, Vinny.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going there right now. I want to take a look. And because you're on my page, not let me see your profile. Let's see. There we go. So I would say that you are between 45 and 50.
Between 45 and 50. Thank you very much. I turned 60 in November.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I'm Italian.
Really?
I'm Italian. Wops don't flop.
Exactly. There you go.
I just made that up. So what does your husband do while you're out promoting things and going through pageants and all that?
Oh, well, he's an engineer and, you know, he works. But he's very proud of me.
Good to have somebody bring home bacon. Now, do you have any children or is it just you and him?
Just he and I. I actually also have a real job. I actually am VP of operations of an IT company. That's my main actual job.
Wow.
Quite boring, I know. Yep.
No,
so
well, you know, hey, that's not a dull thing to do in this day and age because the IT world is changing, so it's good to be kept up on it.
The IT world is always changing. It's absolutely incredible. And I've been working in IT for the past 7 years now, and just the way that's grown just in the past 7 years and what we are now able to offer our clients and all of these things, it's amazing. And, no, I absolutely love my job. It's just that people get so shocked when they hear everything else I do, and they're like, so do you work? It's like, oh, yeah, I'm VP of operations of an IT company. And they're like, wait, what? Because it just doesn't seem like me. But that's just but I love my job, and obviously I guess I'm good at it.
You must be. I'm it's good to be multifaceted and able to multitask with all the things that you do. And I'm just wondering when you find the time between doing all that and delving into the IT world.
So because I'm in the IT world, I can work anywhere in the world. So like, you know, when I was in Thailand for a camp, I was able to work there. Mexico, like, I was working here this morning. I'll work after I just finished a photo shoot, and I'll do another one this afternoon. I work all the time. That's one of my mom's biggest complaints. You're always on your phone answering emails. And I was like, Mom, come on, I have to work. So, no, I'm always working.
Well,
and I'll actually be in the Caymans in a couple of weeks, because I'm doing a freediving competition in Cyprus in October. So I'll be in the Caymans in 2 weeks, training for 2 weeks for this freediving competition. And I'll be still working then as well. Now, obviously not while underwater, but...
Hey, if you can come up with something to do that, you'll have the millennials freaking out.
Oh, I know. That would be so cool. Well, actually, oh, my gosh. So I was in the Florida Springs. This was in August. And I was doing a photo shoot down there, and I actually saw a scuba diver reading a book underwater. It was absolutely incredible. Good morning.
Wow.
But yeah,
and this, he wasn't in
a book. No, he was. I mean, the book was encased in, I guess, you know, some waterproof paper or like plastic. But he was sitting there with this, you know, I was about 20 feet down, and he was a little bit lower, so maybe 25 feet, and he was just reading a book. And I'm like, hey, there's a mermaid swimming by you. he didn't notice me. It was funny.
Wow, that's pretty neat. I was going to say, was he sitting in freestanding water? Didn't you say he had his tank on or in one of them little bubbles that they have these days?
He was actually sitting on a rock in the Florida Springs. So, like, the Florida Springs is such clear, gorgeous water. Actually, my Miss Mermaid USA photo, the one where I have, like, my purple hair and that fancy tail, that's taken in the Florida Springs actually that day. And I think I'm right above that scuba diver in that photo, to be honest. But, yeah, he was just sitting there underwater reading, and I just thought that was the coolest thing.
That's pretty neat. Usually you sit on the beach and read, and this guy decided to do it inside, underwater. That's pretty neat.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is that something you're going to want to try for one of your Miss Mermaid shoots, have a book underwater and read it?
What you'll be seeing pretty soon. So Thursday, I went to Long Beach, California for underwater shoots, but in a pageant dress. So for the Miss Distress of Columbia, so I have my crown and sash and a red dress, and my photographer built an underwater white room, including the carpet and everything, a chair and all of that. So you'll be seeing photos from that shoot shortly.
Now, do you have a... Ms. Mermaid District of Columbia page as well. Sometimes I'll go hit a like on that one.
Oh, I have a Mermaid Jessalee page I work for a company called Circus Siren as a circus artist and a mermaid, and then I also book my own gigs through my Mermaid Jessalee page.
You have to send me. I have to go hunt all this stuff down. Is it on your personal page, all the links, or?
No, but I'll send them to you.
Okay, that'll work. Now, you also like cats, too. It's somebody
I
who...
I love cats. Oh, yeah, and dogs. And, I love cats, dogs, snakes. I love bikes. Last year, my clothing line, Sexy Last, sponsored a bike race, and this year I was the umbrella girl for the bike race. Sadly, my driver didn't win like he did last year. Danny Ellswick, but he was absolutely amazing.
Well, I have cats. I don't have dogs or snakes. Snakes are all around the yard, but I used to be into fitness, and now the only thing I lift are 12 ounces at a time, a couple times a night, and a fork to my pie hole.
So tell me, like, your show, so are you into, like, race cars or just cars in general or even bikes or?
Well, it's basically, it started out as motorsports, so it'd be all kinds of racing, and then I threw in automotive, and then, well, I want to interview interesting people other than that, so then I wound up with beauty queens. I had interviewed two Miss Americas, a Miss New Jersey, two Miss Delawares, a Miss Virginia, United States, who I actually work with at my day job, and now you, and all the interesting things that you do, and
Did you ever go to the Daytona track?
Well, I used to go to Dover a lot because I live near there, and I've been to Richmond once, and my wife's been to Daytona, so I guess it's on the bucket list. And
oh my gosh!
But it's
next year you have to join me at least for the Daytona 200, and be on at the pit and watch the bikers, and yeah, be my guest there at the Daytona 200 next year if you'd like.
Oh, that sounds like a plan. Is that during Bike Week?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, Bike Week. So the girl who we're actually down here, that we came down to Florida for, owns a bike race team, and that's who we sponsored last year, and I do umbrelling, and we're sponsoring them next year. And we are so every year we're at the Daytona 200. Danny Ellslick will be going for his fifth win next year, and totally, be my guest. That would be really awesome.
Oh.
You can actually probably do like your radio podcast from the pit. We have a great rig. Oh my God. You have to come down, and that will get rid of your bucket list. How about that?
Oh, definitely.
You and your wife. It will be absolutely amazing. Especially with your talk show, and you'll be backstage with all the, you'll have pit passes. You'll be right there in all the action with the bikers. I mean, that cool.
Nice. That sounds like something to shoot for.
All right, let's do
this. I'll have to talk to my wife about it.
Well, talk to your wife and then get back to me. That would be just absolutely amazing.
Because we'll have to get like media credentials and all that kind of stuff for access. Or would I be
You'll have access through us, but we still probably need to get you media credentials because you'll be interviewing people. But you will have actual pit access to be able to go anywhere that the bikers and we're able to go to. So thank you so much.
Oh, that sounds awesome. That sounds really awesome.
And
I know
Candace. Oh my gosh, this is going to be amazing. Yes.
I'm getting a little overwhelmed here. It's like,
I
thought this was just going to be a little interview, and here we're planning a gig.
because this actually feeds into what you do, and then we'll be able to meet, and then you'll be able to meet my friends, and you'll be able to interview somebody who's won 4 times the Daytona 200 and is going for his fifth Rolex. Come on.
That's pretty good. That is a feat in any form of motorsports, is winning more than once, let alone 4 times, and going for 5.
Exactly, and he's young. I mean, Danny is like 24. Like, he's been racing for 16 years, and we sponsored him because he's that awesome.
Wow, that's pretty neat.
So that we can at least start, totally. This is awesome. I'm so excited.
Well, I'll have to give you my cell number so we can keep in touch instead of doing it on Facebook. Or would you rather do it on Facebook? That's all up to you. So
both work. Both totally work.
All righty. So anyway, you said you got another photo shoot this afternoon? Or later
yes,
today.
Yes, I do. We're getting the room ready. This Versace mansion, so amazing.
Sounds like you're having a blast, enjoying life, doing things you love, and getting paid for it. So, if you want to give a plug out to your lines and any websites, or you need Instagram, all that good stuff.
My clothing line, Sexy Lass, SEXILASS. For fitness clothing, and it's athleisure wear. So, I can wear it to a club. I wear it to brunch. It's really sexy. It's really awesome. And a new way of learning fitness. And also Mermaid Jessalee. If you want a mermaid for your events, hit her up. Also Glamour, if you're down in Florida, or you just want a glamorous mermaid party or want to look like a mermaid, Glamour, GLAMMER. And also, again, Circus Siren Pod, for mermaids traveling with the largest tank in the United States. We have a 9-foot tank. We travel with it all over, and even to Canada. It's amazing, and you have to come see the mermaids. And then, obviously, you know, I am Miss District of Columbia, Jessica Winfield.
And you're a busy lady. I don't know. I'm glad you found the time to come on my show, and I do hope you will come back.
I definitely will, and thank you so much for inviting me. This has been such a pleasure, but we definitely need to exchange information because you are going to be at the Daytona 200 next year, 2020. So.
Oh, I guess that's an order, huh?
Totally.
We'll see what we can do. We'll have to figure out. We'll work it out. We got a year, right?
Exactly, because it literally just happened, 2 weeks ago? So, yeah, we have a whole
year. So basically, after the Daytona 500, Bike Week comes in, and that's when they have that. So
yep. Absolutely.
Oh, you ride motorcycles anyway. What kind of motorcycle? You said you ride motorcycles?
Yes, Suzuki 500 right now. Everyone wants me to move to a 650. I'm just too scared.
Well, there's always and then you get the other aspect, the road bike, the Harley Davidson. So
I love a Harley Davidson. I actually have been investing in a Harley Davidson since I was 9 years old. And everyone looks at me like, Jessica, what is wrong with you? I said, no, Harley has not lost money. Harley Davidson is a beautiful instrument. Yes, it is not a crotch rocket. It is it's meant for leisure. And I am a mermaid. I am a girl about leisure. I don't always need to be going fast. My life is too fast. So if I want to ride, I want to ride on something nice and, you know, that leisure type of ride. You know what I mean? I love Harleys. I just don't have one because I get teased about it. But no, that's to have a beautiful hot pink Harley. Hot pink and black.
Oh, you want hot pink Harley? I was thinking purple to go with your mermaid outfit.
Hot pink and black with a hint of purple.
Ooh.
No, it would be a sexy bike. That bike would be so amazing. Oh my God.
I think you being on it would be a sexy bike. So. I'm sure your husband would feel the same.
I have like my design in my head. It's just like, no, that's going to be an amazing bike.
Well, you can go to Harley and direct and have them do it. Or you can go to Counts Customs in Vegas and have them do it. And I've seen what they do on counting cars and what they do with bikes. So I'm sure that place would hook you up real good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. Oh my goodness! So we even had a photo shoot here last night at the Versace Mansion where I had mermaids come in, and we were at the pool. And it's so funny, like one of my bartenders that night, my waiter, he actually came up, got body painted, and became a merman last night after the bar closed and everything, and it was just open to the hotel guests. It was awesome.
Pardon? That's my.
Have you ever heard
of
a merman?
Fans. Yes, it always looks evil, and they're usually green.
What type of cats do you have?
Yes, I've heard of mermen. They always come at you with a pitchfork.
They're in there. You can go into the room. Yep. Sorry, someone's serving more mimosas.
Yeah, I guess mermaids... Now, when you do the mermaid thing, is that usually where the audience is largely male, or is there females there as well?
So, surprisingly for me, when I'm mermaid, I have a large male audience. But, like, my girlfriend who was here yesterday was mermaiding with me. She has a large child audience. And then my other girlfriend who was here yesterday, she has a large female audience. It just I guess it depends on your look and, you know, I don't know, but no, I have it just depends, I guess. And, you know, we're all different looking, but we're all, you know, mermaids. I actually wish I had more birthday parties, but kids like me, the mothers don't really, you know, so.
I could imagine. I mean, I could see with the kids and, you know, the littlest
the kids,
mermaid
like,
they see on... Disney movie.
It's just so amazing. No, it really is amazing. I'm gonna also send to you some videos of me mermaiding in Circus Siren's large tank And then even we have small tanks. And then when I was in Thailand, it was in the pool. And even in Singapore, oh, my gosh, they have, like, a mermaid restaurant where it's, like, this huge tank. And so you can sit there and you can just watch the mermaids swim by. And actually that mermaid, the head of the Singapore Mermaid Tribe, is coming to Virginia next February for the Mermaid Mermagicon that's coming to Virginia next year.
Wow, that's pretty neat. Water's going to be cold that time of year, though.
Oh, yeah. We had it this past year. It was a success. It was in February in Manassas because the Freedom Center allowed us to use, you know, their facilities. Absolutely freezing. And then we actually had a ball that night, and I came in body paint, a beautiful mermaid body paint. That was awesome. But absolutely freezing, but an amazing time. And next year, we expect it to be even double.
Wow. That sounds pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. The mermaiding community is very interesting, and I think that you might want to learn about them. I actually have a girl that I think that you'd love to interview, a couple girls. That are a lot bigger in the mermaid community that could, you know, they might interest your listeners. I don't know. Since you have beauty queens, these girls, because I'm so busy, I like being part of the team. I don't like leading the team. I lead everywhere else I go. So, but like my mermaid boss, Morgana, she's amazing. The leader of my pod, Circus Siren, which is one of the biggest mermaid pods in the world. But the biggest one in the United States, and we have auditions a lot, and people are seeking to be on this team. It's amazing. I think that's a girl that you would love to have on your radio show.
Well, I think we can make that happen if they're interested, so sounds like another plan.
Awesome.
You're so full of ideas.
Yeah, totally. No,
I love it.
First of all, I'm really appreciative for you asking me to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Well, anytime.
Sorry,
I'm going
to go for the room. Hold on for a quick second. Thank you so much.
Well, just so your fans can know, if they couldn't tune us in live, this will upload to podcast after. And I had a technical difficulty with the site last week, but we got it finally up and running. So it just happens when you deal with third party. Maybe they need someone like you to keep them in mind.
Actually, we can help you out with that too.
But this way... Because I know sometimes this time of day is a little rough for some people, and they don't get to listen live, so at least I let them know that, hey, if you missed it, you can still catch it. It's live, the podcast. So I like doing live. I've never done an actual podcast where I'll sit there and pre-tape everything and then edit it all in and then upload it. So I think it's better this way. This way you get the feel for it. So.
Yep.
At least that's my opinion. And, well, Jessica, it was a pleasure having you on and meeting you. And
absolutely.
Yes. I will be exchanging information. And, yeah, that sounds like a plan. I'll talk to the wife and told her we've been invited in order to go to Bike Week.
Yes, in order. Commanded. You need to be there. Like, I mean, just think about your listeners. They would love this. This would be really, really. This would be so awesome. You're about more motorsports. Let's do this.
That's for sure. And you know, having motorcycle racers on, I've actually had a couple of those. So,
but you'd be actually be able to interview them live on the track while they're pumped. You know what I mean? Like, it's gonna be crazy.
It sounds it.
I'll make sure that your IT is running properly for you so there's no glitches. How about that?
Yeah, that's something I got to figure out here, you know. Where to plug in, and for some of the areas like in my neck of the woods, we're limited to certain forms of web service, so sometimes it's slow, sometimes it's fast.
Nope, and that's what we do. So my IT business, we provide managed services for small to medium businesses. So if you don't have your own internal IT, we provide it for you. We have clients from like one-person companies to about 3,000 person companies. So we like small to medium.
Wow.
But literally, we help you out with anything. You know, especially our one-person companies work from their home, so they have, you know, and we're like, hey, but we're going to give you a business internet versus your home internet that your kids can use, stuff like that. So we really just work with what works for your particular needs, not something that's just commercialized for everybody. So when people are like, what are your prices? I say, I can't tell you because it's about you. You might only pay $30 a month or somebody might pay $250 because you don't need that much. You just need, hey, if my password needs to be reset, I need to do this for my email so I don't want to manage my own Office 365. So if you want, hey, I want, you know, make sure that I have no viruses. I want, you know, make sure that my backups are done. I want all this. I want you to provide me laptops, desktops, all this stuff, you know, then you're going to pay more a month. You know, it just depends on who you are.
Yeah, well, as far as like internet service goes, we're rather limited in this area to DSL or satellite. No fiber optic.
Definitely have clients like that, especially, it's actually funny, most of our Virginia clients, very southern Virginia, not northern Virginia, have issues similar to that. And actually, one of our Montreal clients has a similar issue, but we were able to get them connectivity and we make it work. You've got to make it work. So.
Well, you'll have to talk to our county, and the county is called Bland County, and it lives up to its name. It is rather bland, but what I do like about it is I can go from
Look at the views that you have.
Yeah,
you know?
They're pretty awesome.
Sometimes
you can complain about that.
Exactly. Sometimes it has to be such a gorgeous view. And you just give and take. And obviously you have cell service, right? So therefore maybe your solution is a MiFi, you know, instead of satellite if your cell phone works. Or you know, the computers that have the built in Wi-Fi. So therefore you're just using whatever network your cell phone is on, then you don't really have those issues and you don't need the DSL, you don't need the satellite. Those are the things, that's the type of solution that we look for our customers because, like, no, first of all, we want to save you money. And second of all, we want to make sure that your business and you are running as efficiently as you possibly can.
And you want to make money also. Well, right now I'm kind of holding off on anything because 5G is coming out, so we'll have to. Once that comes out, everything else is going to dwindle.
I'm sure. I'm sure. That's going to be exciting.
You're gearing up for all that as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I have to stay on top of the latest IT trends. That is part of my job, you know? Like, it just doesn't work if I don't do that. Or I'm not going to be helpful to my clients, right?
Right. And I think Verizon is the first one coming out with it. And there is a Verizon tower. I could see it from my house. You know, I can see Alaska from my house. Well, I could see a Verizon tower from my house. And it's actually on a mountain ridge. It's a shorter walk, even though it would take longer than it would be to drive past it. So that's how close it is.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you'll have to come down and visit this neck of the woods sometime, too.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. Even though I'm District of Columbia, I actually do live in Virginia. So, yeah, that's fine. But born and raised in D.C. And even my driver's license is still a D.C. license. So it works.
Well, you know how that goes, you know, right?
Exactly.
You have to maintain a address there, I guess, to be a – do you have to maintain an address there to be a Ms. District of Columbia?
Yes, and I do maintain an address there. I just Airbnb it because that's an area that, hey, people are in there in and out all the time. It makes me – it more than covers my mortgage, you know? So,
well,
living
for
in
sure.
Virginia,
I
love
one...
it.
Yeah, it is pretty
Because I live
much.
Literally
like
right by Dulles – I live right by Dulles Airport, and because of traveling so much, it takes me 5 minutes to get to the airport in the morning.
Well, sometimes that's where you need to be, either close to an interstate or an airport or both. So
exactly.
Yeah.
And where I am, I can get to D.C. for clients. I can get to everywhere. It's actually perfect and just very close to the data centers where most of my client systems run out of, because Ashburn is very close to Huntsville, Virginia. So.
Well,
that's
neat. I remember, I remember driving from North Carolina when I was on leave from the military to go home to New Jersey, that traffic nightmare of 495.
Oh, my gosh. No. So now that they have, like, the toll express roads, I take the toll express roads to 267, and that at least gets me mainly out of the traffic. But you know, sometimes you're, I remember one time the toll express road was $45 to get on the toll road. I was like, oh my gosh. And I took it because I'm like, if it's $45 just to get on the toll road, imagine what regular traffic's like. You know, if they're charging that much, then what's happening on the non-toll road must be a nightmare.
I was
not going to be able to deal with that night. I've never seen that again. But $45 for a toll road ride that's normally about $2.35, something horrible happened, you know, on the regular road. So, yeah, I did that $45 because I was not going to spend 4 hours or whatever it was going to be in traffic. Because I've never seen that in my life.
Talk about jacking up the price to suit a disaster.
Right. No, seriously, like, who – Have you ever seen that in your entire life? I took a picture and posted it on Facebook. This was about 2 years ago. And I was like, "Are you? I don't understand what's happening in District of Columbia. $45 to get on the toll road. That's crazy." So yeah,
I know.
That was apparently a horrible, like 70 car accident had happened, and that's what the cause was. So yeah, it was
wow.
Crazy circumstances.
I mean, it was the winter time, and there was a big pileup because of the snow and all that, because you see some of these things out in the Midwest.
I got onto Waze. I swear by Waze. And Waze was the one that was like, oh, that's what's happening.
Wow. Jack in the 40. I mean, well, I don't know about these days, but you could have drove the whole length of the PA Turnpike for less than that. But I think it's higher than or the Jersey Turnpike.
No, exactly. You're absolutely correct. You can, first of all, you can definitely drive the entire New Jersey Turnpike. It cost me how much to get to New York? About, like, from D.C. to New York, it's about $20 maybe, $25. It's not $40.
Yeah, well. I'm surprised they haven't jacked that price up. Jersey taxing everybody to death up there. That's one of the reasons I got out.
Yeah.
It's like the cost of living up there is ridiculous. At least you're living in Virginia. The cost of living might be a little higher on the eastern side than on the western side, but it's still a lot better.
In Virginia, the cost of where I live, especially because the metro has now gotten to Dulles Airport, is skyrocketed. The cost of living has gone crazy. So. I have some family in Atlanta, and what they pay for their mortgage, I'm like, oh my gosh, you can only get like an efficiency in D.C. for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now you come to my side of the state, and you can pick up a half a farm first.
See, that. It's about that land, or you can go, you know, like if you, okay, so I fell in love with Phuket, Thailand, and in Phuket, for about $1,600 a month, you can get a 5-bedroom, you know, 4-bathroom house with a view of, I guess, was that the Indian River, or Indian Ocean, and a pool with a maid and driver for about $1,600 a month. I'm like, okay, I need to live in Phuket.
Well, see, maybe you ought to go on an episode of House Hunters International.
Exactly. You know, that seems like the way to go.
And you can promote your mermaid gig and your IT business, because basically you said you can work from anywhere, so It's all dependent on whether your husband wants to leave the country or not.
Thailand, I'm all about right now. I'm literally like totally.
I can go for some Thai food now. Now you're getting hungry.
Oh my gosh. So I no longer can eat Thai food in the United States. I can, like, Thailand has ruined that for me.
Well, yeah, that's kind of how it works. You go somewhere, you eat the food there, then you come home. It's like you can't touch it because, like, even lobster. I went to Maine, had lobster. I can't eat lobster anywhere. It's not as good. It's always tough. It's always, but you go up there, it melts in your mouth, and it's always tasty. And the best places were like roadside shacks. So I'm sure Thailand, it's kind of like the same thing.
Oh, totally. Absolutely.
Wow, we could spend all day talking about this, and the show's almost over, so we'll have to do this offline or off air sometime. Well, I guess my listeners, when I told them I posted that I was having you on, we're hitting on the likes, and I got one reaction from somebody. He's at work right now, so he'll have to catch the podcast, but. It's a pleasure having you on. I better let you go to your photo shoot.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. I love being on, and we're going to exchange tons of things offline.
All righty. Sounds like a plan.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a great rest of your day.
Winfield, Ms. District of Columbia, America, joining us. Check out her page, the Jessica Winfield, Ms. District of Columbia America 2019. Give it a like and go from there. So she's one amazing woman and a lot of amazing things. Thank you so much, my friend, and you have a good day and enjoy that photo shoot.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye now. Wow. Boy, we could have talked all day. I could have did a 4-hour show on with her. Maybe she can co-host one time. They'll send her a message. Maybe she can co-host one time. Anyway, I guess we only got a few minutes left, so let's get to the wrap-up. First announcement is Darryl Waltrip announced he was retiring from broadcasting. I guess just comes a time where you've had enough. So Darryl Waltrip, I guess, after this season, no more boogity, boogity, boogity. In the Xfinity race, Christopher Bell took the checkered flag. Tyler Reddick for second, Cole Custer third, Chase Briscoe fourth, John Hunter Nemechek fifth, Austin Cindric sixth, Justin Haley seventh, Michael Annette eighth, ninth, Noah Gragson, and tenth, Harrison Burton. Point system is four cautions for 40 laps, two of them stage conclusions. 11 lead changes amongst five drivers, the points as they fit. Tyler Reddick leads the points. Christopher Bell is second, but he has two wins, so he'll move up to the first seed. Cole Custer's third. He'll move to the second seed. Michael Annette is fourth and so on. But Boston Cindric is fourth. Michael Annette is fifth. Brandon Jones, sixth, seventh. Justin Allgaier, sixth. He left early in the race. Brandon Jones was 7th, Chase Briscoe 8th, John Hunter Nemechek 9th, 10th is Noah Gragson, Ryan Sieg is 11th, and on the bubble, Justin Haley. But he's got a good points lead over Ross Chastain. There's a 40-point gap, so that's like not entering a whole race for him to lose that ground. In the Cup side, Kyle Busch wins another one. Kurt Busch, second. It was a battle to the end. I think if Kurt would have caught him, he'd have wrecked him. He even said so. Joey Logano, third. Led 146 laps. Leading most laps, another Penske Ford teammate, Ryan Blaney. Denny Hamlin was fifth. Paul Menard was sixth. Clint Bowyer, seventh. Daniel Suarez was eighth. Ninth, Ryan Newman. And 10th, Jimmy Johnson. 21 lead changes amongst nine drivers. 11 cautions for 77 laps. Kyle Busch's 54th in 506 Cup Series races. So he gets about 10 wins every 100 races, if you wanted to do the math on that. That's a pretty good order. He leads the points by 27 over Denny Hamlin, but he's got three wins in the book. Hamlin with two, Joey Logano with one in third, Kevin Harvick fourth, Brad Keselowski fifth, sixth, Ryan Blaney, Martin Truex seventh. Keselowski with two wins, even though he's fifth, he will get bumped up to the third spot in seeding. I think NASCAR ought to put him that way and then just have the points separated that. Ryan Blaney, sixth, seventh, Martin Truex, eighth, Kurt Busch, ninth, Eric Amarola, 10th, Chase Elliott, Clint Bowyer, 11th, Daniel Suarez, 12th, Jimmy Johnson, 13th, Kyle Larson, 14th, Ryan Newman, 15th, and Ricky Stenhouse is 16th. But within 2 points, but Eric Jones is 17th, a point back of Stenhouse, and there's a close gap between 17th, below the bubble, and 20th with William Byron. He's 9 out of that, but Menard is 2 off the bubble, and Dillon and Jones are 1 off the bubble, so Stenhouse is going to have to finish at least ahead of that. So that being said, let's take a look at this week. We're going to Richmond night racing Friday night for Xfinity, Saturday night for the Cup Series. Well, let's see, who am I picking? Truex led the October race, but Kyle Busch won. Martin Truex led most of this race, but this was a day race last year. No, it wasn't. It was a night race last year. Last year they brought it back. They had stopped, and Kyle Busch won. But Kyle Busch won this past week. See, Joey Logano led 92 laps in the first race. And I don't see Joey Logano in that one. He didn't lead any laps, but he finished 14th. But Ford's been doing good this year, so is it going to be... I'm not going to go with Kyle Busch because he already won this week, last week. I don't know if he could do it 2 weeks in a row. Never say never. But you know what? I'm going to go with Martin Truex just because he leads pretty good laps there. Or should I go with Logano? I don't know. It is the home track of Denny Hamlin, and he's been running good, but he didn't lead too many laps. Either way. So I'm going to go with Truex. We'll make it another Toyota, but this time we'll... we'll go there. Special thanks to my guest, Jessica Winfield, Ms. Columbia, America, and Ms. Mermaid, District of Columbia. I thought that was more interesting than the regular pageant, but hey, you know. What can I tell you? I think I just made a new friend. Anyway, that's our show for today. Oh, yeah, let me get back to the NHRA. In the funny car, it was J.R. Todd with Tommy Johnson, the runner-up. In pro stock, Bo Butner beat Matt Hartford, Loey T, Erica Enders in that semifinal round. I don't know what happened. She was off the line the quickest, and something happened with her car. The 707, that's not like her, especially when she's running 650s. We'll have to find out what happened there. And in pro stock motorcycle, Hector Arana Jr. takes the win. Runner-up Matt Smith. Matt Smith, low ET, best reaction time. Hector Arana Sr., top speed, Matt Smith. But where it counts in the Wallys, it was Hector Arana. Well, that's our show for today. Hope you all enjoyed it. Thanks again to Jessica Winfield. See you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.